Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, 30th Chapter, text number 21, given by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami, recorded on 27 June of 1997 in Vancouver, Canada.
Gopi Jana Balabha Ivaradhari Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
The spiritual personalities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, personally came and gave them further blessings. The Supreme Personality of Godhead was so pleased by their austerities that He told them that you will be able to rule over the planet for thousands of years. And these were not thousands of our earthly years, but thousands of our spiritual years. 6 months on the earthly planet is equal to 12 hours of the heavenly planets. So the Prachetas were given this benediction. And the Prachetas were so overjoyed when they saw the Personality of Godhead in front of them. They were very, very happy. So, we see that even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Dhruva Maharaj, he had gone to the forest, Madhuvan. This Madhuvan forest is not too far from our Krishna Balaram temple. And Dhruva Maharaj was able to capture or attract the attention of the Lord just by performing extreme austerities for a period of 6 months. For 6 months, he practiced extreme austerities, as a result of which the Lord personally appeared on the scene. So similarly, we see that the Prachetas attracted the Personality of Godhead as a result of their extreme austerities. And the Lord was so pleased that He gave them the benediction that they would be able to rule over the planet for thousands of years, which they did. Now, in this verse, we see that Maitreya Rishi, Maitreya Muni is stating that after the Personality of Godhead had spoken, the Prachetas began to offer prayers in glorification of the Supreme Lord. The Srimad Bhagavatam contains extensive glorification of the Lord through the medium of prayers offered by devotees of the Lord. Devotees of the Lord's constant meditation is to glorify the Lord. And devotees of the present generation glorify the Lord by repeating the prayers from the scriptures, just like we have the prayers of Queen Kunti. If you read these prayers and repeat these prayers, just by repeating these prayers, you get purified and you make spiritual advancement. Now, Maitreya Muni is pointing out that the Supreme Lord is the bestower of all success and is a supreme benefactor. Further, He is the supreme friend who takes away all miserable conditions experienced by a devotee. So the difference between the devotee's understanding and the non-devotee's understanding is that the devotee recognizes sarva karana karanam, that the Supreme Lord is the cause of all causes. And nothing is independent of the Supreme Lord. The devotee's understanding is that not a blade of grass can move without God's permission. And therefore, the devotee's constant meditation is to please the Supreme Lord, who is the supreme benefactor. The Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness means to understand that Krishna is the supreme proprietor, the supreme enjoyer, and our well-wisher. When you recognize that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, you naturally want to rightfully offer all resources, facilities at your command in service to the Lord. And if we do not do that, we would be considered cheaters. Then Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. He is the proprietor and our well-wisher. When you recognize Krishna as a well-wisher, you accept the teachings of Krishna as enunciated through the disciplic succession as a basis of your spiritual life. And you do not want to deviate from the teachings of the Lord even by a fraction. And you want to base your life based on the teachings of the Lord. So, the Supreme Lord is the ultimate sanctioning authority. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarvasya chaham hirdi sannivishto mataha smriti jnanam apahanam cha. That I am the cause of remembrance and the cause of forgetfulness. In other words, Krishna is the ultimate sanctioning authority. And when he observes reciting the heart of the Paramatma, Krishna is a witness to all the desires. So when Krishna sees that here is somebody who wants to serve me, surrender to me, then Krishna gives him the necessary intelligence facility. And when he sees that somebody wants to forget me, then also suitable situation is created. So the Supreme Lord is the supreme benefactor. Bhoktaram yagya taposam sarva loka maheshwaram surdam sarva bhutanam gyatamam sandim rachate. That is, he is a supreme enjoyer. See, we recognize that the Lord is a supreme enjoyer and dedicate all our activities in that spirit, then that is considered success of this human form of life. He is a supreme friend. So Prabhupada has explained this point, how the Lord is such an intimate friend of the living entity that he doesn't leave us alone even when we take on lower species of life. Even when we transmigrate to lower species of life, the Lord still accompanies us as the Paramatma. So he is the supreme friend who takes away all miserable conditions experienced by a devotee. The point is, even it doesn't matter whether one is a devotee or a non-devotee, the miseries of life are going to strike everyone. But the devotee understands how the laws of nature work. He understands how the law of karma works. And therefore, a devotee is not affected even when he may be in a seemingly difficult position. Even if he is in a seemingly difficult position, the devotee understands that due to the causeless mercy of the Lord, my inconvenience or difficulties are being minimized, and therefore he does not in any way reduce his dependence on the Lord. So the Supreme Lord is a real friend, and one who is intelligent understands that my constant endeavor should be to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Pratetas were very, very happy when they saw the Personality of Godhead. So in the purport, Prabhupada is making many important points that we should touch upon. First of all is that the Supreme Lord is Purushartha Bhajanam, the bestower of the ultimate goal of life. Purushartha Bhajanam. So we must understand the supreme goal of life is to please Krishna. This goal must be clearly established. Prahlad Maharaj says, Nate vidam swarta gatim hi vishnum durasaya bhair arthamanina. That people do not know what is the real goal of life. So the supreme goal of life is to give pleasure to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And a devotee should mold his life that he can please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when you take to the process of devotional service, as Prabhupada's pointing out in the purport, then you can escape the influence of passion and ignorance. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, Devyesha guna mai mama maya dhratyaya. He says, this material energy of mine, consisting of the three modes, is very, very difficult to overcome. But mamme vame prapadyante maya metham taranti te. But one who takes shelter of me, he can overcome the influence, passion and ignorance. Krishna advises in the Bhagavad Gita that we have to go beyond the modes of passion and ignorance. And he describes the symptoms of one who is in the mode of goodness is that all the gates in the body are illuminated with knowledge. How many gates do we have in the body? So there are 9 gates in the body. And all these 9 gates, the hands, the legs, the ears, all these 9 gates should be illuminated with transcendental knowledge. That means that we have the understanding that the purpose of these gates is to please the Lord. Because these 9 gates, when they are misused, may become the cause of bondage. And when these 9 gates are used correctly, they become the cause of liberation. Yet the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the touch, the anus, the rectum, these can be misused or used. In the Bhagavatam, Krishna explains in the first canto that same activity, if applied in a therapeutic manner, becomes a cure rather than the cause of the disease. Just like milk can cause a bad stomach. But the same milk, when it is consumed in the form of yogurt, it becomes a cure for the bad stomach. So similarly, these 9 gates in the body, when they're illuminated with transcendental wisdom, then they help one get liberated from the samsara of birth and death. And if these gates are not illuminated with transcendental knowledge, if they are full of material desires and material knowledge, then these gates cause bondage or repetition of the cycle of birth and death. So these 9 gates must be illuminated with transcendental knowledge. And beyond the mode of goodness is the mode of pure goodness, sudha-sattva. Devotional service, pure devotional service, should be executed at the level of sudha-sattva or pure goodness. We see that Vyasadeva, even after compiling the vast Vedic literature, was still very unhappy. And Narada Muni pointed out that the cause of his unhappiness was that he had not exclusively presented the process of pure devotional service, and hence came the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the point is that unless one takes to the platform of pure devotional service, which has been explained, sarve punsam paro dharmo yato bhakti adhokshate, haituke pratiyata yatma suprasidati. The self can only be satisfied if we take to the process of pure devotional service. And this must be unmotivated and uninterrupted. So the point that we're making is very simple. That is, we have to rise beyond passion and ignorance, and goodness is certainly superior to passion and ignorance. However, if you go beyond goodness, then you come to the level of pure goodness, or sudha-sattva, which is the platform at which we execute pure devotional service. And if we execute pure devotional service, then one can cleanse the heart of the material misgivings. In the purport, Prabhupada quoted this very famous verse from the first canto, which is that verse that he quotes in the purport. Shanmata swakata krishna punya shravana kirtana hedi antasto ya badrani vidanoti suratsatam. It's a very famous verse from the second chapter of the first canto. Shanmata swakata krishna. So we come to the platform of rendering pure devotional service by the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. The Prachetas chanted a mantra that was given to them by Lord Shiva. Dhruva Maharaj chanted a mantra that was given to him by Narada Muni. We in Kali Yuga chant the mantra that has been given to us by the scriptures, popularized by the most merciful, magnanimous incarnation ever to appear, namely Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, by chanting the Maha Mantra in the present environment of Kali Yuga, one can realize the same benefit that the Prachetas were able to realize. One can realize the same benefit that Dhruva Maharaj was able to realize. By chanting the names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because Abhadrani means material misgivings, material dirt, contamination. So the Abhadrani, the contamination of the heart, can become cleansed by the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Of course, in the initial stages, we just tell people, chant, chant, chant. Huh? We don't go into any in-depth philosophy or whatever. But if one is serious about spiritual life, if one is serious about initiation, if one is initiated, then he has a responsibility. Initiation is a double-sided contract. And the spiritual master agrees to take you back to Godhead, provided you agree to follow certain standards. And at the time of initiation, we take on certain vows. In the material world, if you break a contract, if you have a solid legal contract and you break it, you can be taken to court. But sometimes we think, oh, spiritually you break a contract, nothing happens. Just like there's so many people committing sinful activities and we conclude nothing's happening to them. No, it's just a matter of time. When we do not acknowledge or sincerely carry out our spiritual commitments, then of course we do become liable for punishment. Just like anyone who breaks the law, the laws of God, becomes liable for punishment. So the different stages of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. The initial stage is when you chant and commit offenses. That is known as the offensive stage of chanting the holy name. But when you go beyond that, then you come to the stage where you try to minimize your offenses. Every morning we chant in all our ISKCON temples the 10 offenses. You chant here also. Why do we recite the 10 offenses every morning? It's not that the 10 offenses are just meant for the new bhaktas. We recite the 10 offenses every day because every devotee should remind himself about the 10 offenses and make a concentrated effort to avoid the 10 offenses while he's chanting the holy name, to avoid the 10 offenses in our Vaishnava dealings. And an important element in the chanting of the holy name is to chant the holy name attentively. Chanting the holy name inattentively is not the same as chanting the holy name attentively. Just like when you're relishing prasad, do you want to be distracted by many things? Suppose you're eating a nice plate of prasad feast. Do you like phone calls and do 10 things at the same time while eating prasad? No. You want to just eat prasad with concentration. Even Ayurveda recommends that. When you eat, you should just eat with concentration. So chanting the holy name should be executed with the utmost concentration, which is known as attention. And if we chant the holy name attentively with the utmost concentration, then the holy name is going to work wonders. We should not forget the holy name is descending from where? It's descending from the spiritual abode of the Lord. And the holy name, which is descending from the spiritual abode of the Lord, this holy name has the power of eradicating all your material misgivings. Don't underestimate the potency of the holy name. One of the biggest offenses that we commit, even as devotees, we minimize the potency of the holy name And when you're not attentive in chanting, that is your statement to Krishna that I really don't understand the full value of the chant. Because when you understand the full value of the chanting of the holy name, when you understand that the holy name is not different from Krishna, so naturally you'll be inspired to be attentive in chanting the holy name, because the holy name is non-different from Krishna. Just like over here we see that the Prachetas were overjoyed when they saw the Supreme Lord, isn't it? They were overjoyed. So we must constantly recognize that the holy name is non-different from Krishna. And because the holy name is non-different from Krishna, an endeavor should be to chant the holy names attentively. Then the holy name is also going to reciprocate. And the reciprocation of the holy name is realized by our getting attached to the holy name, our getting attached to the principles of devotional service, our manifesting tyaga in our cultivation of spiritual life. So all this comes by attentive chanting of the holy name. Otherwise, the material misgivings of the anarthas are capable of bewildering any individual. But attentive chanting of the holy name actually is most important. And if we endeavor to do that, then eventually you come to the stage of purified chanting. That is the stage of chanting when you're not committing any offenses at all. So, the Prabhupada is explaining how, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one gets purified and the one is actually able to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, a devotee of the Lord recognizes that his only real goal is to please the Personality of Godhead. And therefore, Rupa Goswami has said, we set everything favorable for spiritual advancement and we reject everything unfavorable for spiritual advancement. That should be the guiding spirit. Any activity as a result of which we are not able to sincerely carry out our devotional activities, those activities must be given up. Rupa Goswami has said, my dear friend, whatever price you may need to pay to become Krishna conscious, please pay that price. Don't bargain. What does it mean, don't bargain? Don't bargain means make whatever adjustments you need to make so that your spiritual life can be maintained. Rupa Goswami has said how spiritual life can be spoiled, how spiritual life can be cultivated. With regards to factors that can spoil spiritual life, Rupa Goswami has said, Atyahara prayashashta prajalpa niyamagraha jansangashta lolyam cha sadbir bhakpir. What was the last word? Vinashati. How devotional service can be destroyed. Vinashati means destruction and prasadati means development, the opposite. So tyaha, over endeavoring for material things, trying to get things that are difficult to obtain, it can affect your spiritual life. So we should never in any condition forget that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Prabhupada gave an example that if you find a $100 note on the road, then there are three possible alternative situations. One is you can take the money and pocket it. The other is you can let the money lie over there on the road. And the third is you can pick it up, search for the real proprietor and return it to the proprietor. Now, if you just let the money lie over there, that's not intelligence because somebody else is going to come and pick it up. If you were to take it and pocket it, you would be a thief. But if you search for the owner and return it to the owner, then that would be honesty and intelligence. So our understanding is that the Supreme Lord, who is the possessor of unlimited transcendental activities, which are all auspicious, is actually to be pleased by our endeavor. Therefore, coming to the platform of pure devotional service means executing activities for the pleasure of the Lord, as we understand through the disciplic succession, recognizing that this is a medium to real happiness. To summarize the verse, the Prachetas are overjoyed. They're overjoyed because they have seen the Personality of Godhead. And why did the Personality of Godhead come? because the Prachetas performed extreme austerity for 10,000 years. And all the Pracheta brothers, they were single-pointed. They only had one occupation, and their occupation was the execution of devotional service. So recognizing this, that the mood, the occupation of all devotees of the Krishna conscious movement should be single-pointedly endeavoring to please the personality of Godhead. And if you please the Lord, then you will automatically be pleased. That is the unique secret of devotional service. By renunciation, by working for the pleasure of the Lord, you also please yourself. Just like when you put food in the stomach, all the parts of the body are nourished. Hare Krishna.